For the theme for this year and also the next will be on flourishing life. And what would the church leadership hopes to do is that we will explore every part, every single part of our lives using the Bible, especially the wisdom literature this year, to explore how we can live a more fulfilling life that is in line with our faith. So one of the things that we have been doing since the start of the year is going through the Song of Songs. And the reason for that is that we acknowledge that loving relationships, especially including romance, is very much part of our lives. And it's good that we can also know what is the biblical perspective regarding flourishing life, especially in the area of romantic relationships. So let us continue our sermon series, Song of Songs, chapter 5. Today we'll be looking from chapter 5, verse 2, all the way to chapter 6, verse 3. Now each one of these is a self-contained song by itself. This is the song for today. Let me read to you. Note that this is from the female perspective. Okay, so imagine it's a female singer at this point, even though I'm not one. All right. I slept, but my heart was awake. Listen, my beloved is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless one. My head is drenched with dew. My hair is with the dampness of the night. So this, his beloved is knocking on the door and saying all this. Then the woman continues. I have taken off my robe. Must I put it on again? I have washed my feet. Must I soil them again? My beloved thrust his hand through the latch opening. My heart began to pound for him. I rose to open for my beloved. My hands dripped in myrrh, my fingers with flowing myrrh on the handles of the boat. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved has left. He was gone. My heart sank at his departure. I looked for him, but did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. They beat me. They bruised me. They took away my cloak, those watchmen of the walls. Then she addressed all the female sisters. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, if you find my beloved, what will you tell him? Tell him I'm faint with love. Then those sisters respond. How is your beloved better than others, most beautiful of women? How is your beloved better than others that you so charged us? Then she responded to them. My beloved is radiant and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is purest gold. His hair is wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like dust by the water streams washed in milk, mounted like jewels. His cheeks are like beds of spice yielding perfume. His lips are like lilies dripping with myrrh. His arms are like rods of gold set with topaz. His body like polished ivory decorated with lapis lazuli. His legs are like pillars of marble set on bases of pure gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as its cedars. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, daughters of Jerusalem. Then they responded to her. Where has your beloved gone, O beautiful, most beautiful of women? Which way did your beloved turn that we may look for him with you? Then she responded to them again. My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the bed of spices, to browse in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He browses among the lilies. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us so that we may come to know you, that we may come to understand your word, and that we may learn to obey your teachings so that your word is the lamp upon our paths and our guide in life. All this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this is the fourth sermon in our series on the Song of Songs. And I hope by now you'll be slightly more familiar with these Hebrew love poems. So I'm acknowledge that right at the beginning, it might seem like something very unfamiliar, very tough. Indeed, if I were to look back at our entire history of preaching, I don't think we have ever taught Song of Songs for the past maybe more than 30 years. So this is something that is a challenge, not just for the listeners, but also for the preachers. But we hope to do this incrementally and week by week. Maybe you get slightly more and more familiar with all this Hebrew love poetry. Now, the beauty of poetry, of course, is that, you know, it's able to capture sentiments and expressions beyond its literal meaning. Because we know that love, you know, the expression itself is an art, not a science. So we have to do this very artistically. And poetry is a very good instrument to do this. And it must be expressed artfully. But the shortcoming of poetry is that, you know, if the listener and the speaker are not of the same frequency, then communication will break down, because I don't know what you're saying, right? It's all too poetic, maybe. So you notice that for the past 3 weeks, the sermon speakers have spent quite a lot of sermon time to try to decode all these poetic lines for us, especially, you know, this is thousands of years later, we might not understand many of these poetic imageries. Now, my sermon today is even more complicated. Why? Because of the starting line. The first line of our song today starts with this line. I slept, but my heart was awake. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean that the entire song is actually a dream? So that is one possibility, and maybe you can take this interpretation, that our entire song today is just a dream. So that is one interpretation. Another interpretation is that, no, actually she's awake. So the entire song is about what happened after she was awakened, maybe by the knocking. All right. So that is another interpretation. Now, my personal interpretation for this, and you don't have to take mine, so this is just my own interpretation, is that this entire song is neither a dream nor an actual event that happened. So it is not an actual thing. But rather, the entire song is something quite like a music video or an MV. Now, you know that in an MV, as the song is sung, there can be many, many different scenes. And all these scenes, you know, sometimes they are just pieced together without necessarily to have a narrative coherence, for example. But what the MV scenes sometimes they try to do is that they try to, you know, create moods and sensations for us. So sometimes the MV scenes can be, you know, truly out of this world. Now, you know that, for example, our first three sermons, all the titles, we use Chinese love song titles, right? For example, the first one was Ai Ru Chao Sui. Right, so in Ai Ru Chao Sui by Jeff Chang, suddenly there's this scene, you know, where the woman was, you know, at this pole, and then suddenly just fire flames just suddenly leapt out. Was she, you know, caught in the fire while pole dancing? So obviously not, it's just a MV scene, right? Our second title was Yu Shang Ai, right? So you have Rainy Yang, you know, going around with the antenna, trying to detect love, where is love, where is love? Obviously something like that don't exist in real life. In our third song, Wo Yuan Yi by Fei Wong, right? So she was just singing by the sea, lakeside or seashore, and just suddenly she was like teleported to a church, you know, by the altar, and then there's scenes of Bible and the cross. So you know that, you know, it's like an MV, It doesn't really have to make perfect sense, but it's about the sensation of the scene. Flames, antenna, you know, church scene. It's supposed to create this sensation and mood for us to really appreciate the lyrics better. Maybe it's the sentiment of the song that is more important. So even though the fictional scenes may seem quite far-fetched in the real world, and you might see that it's somewhat like that in our song today, but just like in the MV, the scene serves the purpose of stirring of emotions with very impactful imageries as you think about the lyrics of the song. So that will be my interpretation. Our song today is not a real dream and not a real event, but more like an MV. So what exactly is happening in our song today? Let me first, this is what we're going to do. Let me just explain the lyrics of the song before we try to think about what they might possibly mean. All right? So at the very beginning of the scene, first thing you must know is that the entire song is from the female point of view. All right? So imagine as if our entire song today is sung by a female singer. All right? Then it begins with the scene where, yes, the woman is lying on the bed, half asleep. Maybe she's asleep, maybe she's not, but we are not very sure. All right, half asleep. Then suddenly we see this man knocking on the door. All right, and the man is drenched, and then the man wants to come in. Hey, open up, wants to come in. Now, what immediately we'll try to imagine, what relationship do they have? Now, one obvious clue is that definitely they are lovers, okay? Because the woman addressed the man as my beloved. So they know one another, they are lovers. But are they married? So this seems to be a key point, are they married? Now, at this point, we are not sure because it depends on whether you connect our chapter today, which is chapter 5, with the song in chapter 3, all right? So in chapter 3, you had a wedding scene, right? So if you think that chapter 5 is connected to chapter 3, then yes, they are married, okay? Then my wife asked, then why doesn't the guy has the key to the door? I don't know, all right? Just not sure, all right? But if you think that they are not connected, chapter 3 and chapter 5 are not connected, then they are not married, they are just lovers, all right? So not sure. Anyway, but what is more important is that the lady is very reluctant to open the door, okay, for the man, even though the man is drenched and outside and knocking on the door furiously, right? Okay, why? Because she is very reluctant because of the hassle of getting out of the bed. So you might think, guys here might be thinking, what's the problem? What's the problem of getting out of the bed to open the door for his her lover, right? But I think ladies will understand because there are women who, you know, take hours before they can get out of the house. So this is not an easy task. Yeah. We are not supposed to understand. Anyway, so that's the case. But what goes on is that the woman is the guy is very insistent, you know, until he's trying to struggle with the lock, trying to, you know, open the door and get in. And here is important. What is important is that the lady say that she's aroused by his insistence. So by the time the lady decides to open the door, the man has left. Oh dear. So what she decides to do is that she decides to go out onto the streets to look for this man. But she cannot find the man. But what happened instead is that she was found by the watchman, okay, that is surveying the streets. Now, these were the same watchmen that were first mentioned in Song chapter 3. But at chapter 3, they didn't do anything. But in chapter 5 this time, they beat her up, okay, and bruised her and even took away her cloak and things like that. Why did they do this? Probably she think that, you know, she must be a very loose woman. Why are you out in the streets in the middle of the night alone looking for men? You know, maybe they think she's a prostitute, okay? Why are you looking out in men like this? Then the woman asked her friends, imagine backup singer suddenly appearing, okay, yeah. Where can I find my man? You know, help me look for my man. Then they asked her back, what makes your man so special, so different from other men, that you have to look for him like this? You know, you're all bruised up. Why are you looking for your man? What makes him so special? All right? Now, at this point, then she starts to describe her man from hair all the way to the legs. All right? The entire body she was describing. Now, last week, Pastor Enoch explained that this is known as a wasaf, right? It's a Arabic love poetry, all right, where sometimes it's the man describing the woman, sometimes it's the woman describing the man. So in this case, it's the woman describing her man to her friends, all right? So if you want to imagine what each line from hair all the way to the leg is like, you just have to just imagine the perfect dimensions of your perfect man, all right? So I don't know what is your perfect dimensions. So I use this Michelangelo's Statue of David. Maybe it helps you to for your imagination. But if you don't find this attractive to you, then you just use your own imagination. You can use Andy Lau. For the younger ones, maybe you can use Tom Holland. Older ones, maybe you like Chris Hemsworth. I don't know. Choose your own favorite, all right? For Cat, you choose Elder Chen Han. So anyway, the point is, the woman says, this is why this man is so different, so perfect in my eyes, so different from other men. Okay? Then they ask her back, so where is your man then? Okay? Now this is a very funny question mark, because in the first place is she asked her friends, where is he? Now she asked her back, where is your man? But it turns out that she knew where this man all along is. He says, he's back in his garden. And then imagine as the music fades, then they meet back in the garden, and as a final reunion scene at the end of our MV today. So this is what the lyrics literally mean, all right? Okay. Now, what can we learn about love and romance from today's song? All right, this is our fourth song. Now, in the first three sermons on the Song of Songs, the pastors have already covered multiple aspects of this topic of romantic relationships. And I think all of them spoke on the very key points of romance and BGR, loving relationships. Especially important is the topic of mutual acceptance and mutual respect. So it's very important that, and this is in our Christian tradition, that you have mutual acceptance and mutual respect in a relationship. The pastors also talk about how love is very critical to our lives because of the spiritual nourishment that it brings to us. Okay, it feeds us, it keeps us strong, it makes us whole. Last week, Pastor Enoch stressed on the importance of intimacy and devotion within an exclusive relationship. So when you're in a relationship, it's very important that we become intimate with one another. We confess our love and to be devoted to one another. Now, all these themes that has been covered by the first three speakers, they continue to be relevant in our song today. All right. So, for example, our song ends with this very critical verse: "I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine." So, this is a very critical phrase that talks about intimacy and this sense of belonging. The sense of commitment that you have in a loving relationship. But because the first three speakers have already covered all this, I thought it would be more beneficial today that I wouldn't talk about these topics that has been covered, but rather I will share another aspect of love, which is also equally important and especially highlighted by our song today. And what I wish to share today is on the challenge of communication. And I think most of us can resonate with this, and we acknowledge that sometimes in relationship, and not just romantic relationships, it can be friendship, it can be family relationships, it can be our work relationships and so on. A lot of the times we have communication breakdowns, but I would say especially so in BGRs. Specifically, I will just focus on one question today, all right? So imagine, all right, if you are single, all right? If you are a female, okay, if you are male, then imagine you are female. If you are female, then you don't have to imagine. So anyway, if you are female and you find yourself attracted to a male, all right? The question is, would you confess your feelings? And even if you are married, all right, imagine that, okay, if you are married and you are in a marriage relationship, would you, openly express your love for your partner? Would you do that? Yeah. So this is the question that we are addressing today. About the communication, the expression of your love, would you do it? So I asked around my church friends, right? Some older, some younger, some married, some not married. So I asked everyone, okay, that I asked them to share with me freely. So especially I want to know, if you are female, would you do it? All right. And if you are male, I asked them, if you were female, would you do it? All right. And based on my simple survey, yes, there were a handful that said yes. But I don't know if it's surprising to you, but the majority actually said no. All right, they won't do it. And if you were a perfectly rational person, all right, if you imagine, if let's say you're a robot or what, logically speaking, that doesn't seem to make sense, right? Because the logical thing to do is that everybody should just say exactly what they think. Then, you know, then men and women will be paired up together perfectly, ma, isn't it? Boy likes girl, girl likes boy, then the two of you should be coupled up together. Perfect. Case closed. Logically speaking, things should be like that. Everybody should just express themselves perfectly so that we understand one another perfectly, and couples can be paired up. Boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, or whatever. You know, perfectly. Logically should be like this. But we know that it's not often the case. It doesn't really work that way. We like honesty from others, but we seldom feel safe to be honest. Let me say this again. We like honesty from others. We want others to be perfectly transparent to us, but we ourselves seldom feel safe to be honest to us. It is not easy to open up, to be transparent to others. And I think we know why. We know why we are so guarded against true honesty, especially in love. It is because we are fearful of being hurt. It is just like how Adam and Eve behave immediately when they, you know, the Bible says when their eyes were open and they realized that they were naked to one another, what did they do? They immediately covered themselves. We want honesty from others, but we seldom feel safe to be honest with one another. Why are we fearful? Why are we so guarded, especially in love? I think sometimes we are fearful of being rejected. Sometimes we are fearful that, you know, the love that we express may be used against us, may be abused. Or maybe it's not from the other partner, but sometimes simply because we are fearful of being judged by others, you know, for being so open, so, you know, unreserved. And as I think about this question, I wonder if, you know, is this a gender thing? So I was wondering to myself, you know, I wonder if such open confessions of love is harder for ladies than for men. Now, in our song today, we see maybe that is what it's trying to say. Next slide. Yeah. In our song today, the lady is hesitant to be too quick to open her door, even though she acknowledges that, you know, the one who is knocking on her door is her beloved. So, you know, we might be thinking, why is she hesitant to open her door when the one who is knocking on her door is her beloved? Is she being coy? Is it to avoid being perceived as easy, or to be perceived as desperate? So, you know, you cannot be too quick to open the door. And if we put ourselves in her shoes, then maybe we can sense what it feels like to be a woman, sometimes in our society today. We don't feel safe to open our doors too easily. And we see that such reservations might be valid, might be necessary, because in the next scene, what happens when she's out there, you know, looking for her man openly? What happens? We see the watchman beating her up on the streets. Now, my interpretation of that scene in the MV is that it's maybe it's an imagery of society you know, frowning upon a woman openly out there searching for her man. Sometimes we label such women as nympho. I'm not sure if you have heard of this word. Society can be very judgmental, especially on women who is, you know, who's putting up herself out there and, you know, being vulnerable with her feelings. Even women can be, sometimes I think about it, women can be more harsh on women than men. You know, sometimes men might be not so judgmental, but, you know, sometimes I think older women will say, "Wow, why this young girl like that, dressed like that out there?" Sometimes it's like this. I'm not sure if for your own experiences. But as I think about this topic, I think that, thankfully, society seems to have progressed over time, over the years, to make it much more equal between men and women. If I'm not wrong, maybe my judgment, maybe my observations are not as accurate, but I think that there are a lot less such society expectations on how women should behave, a lot less stigma today, you know, where, you know, there's this idea that, oh, you must make sure that it's the man who makes the first move. As a lady, you shouldn't make the first move, I think a lot less of such sentiments. Or, you know, ideas where, oh, a woman with a sexy image, then she must be very promiscuous. I think there's a lot of less of this in society today. If I'm not wrong, I think that, especially for the younger generation, such matters are now no longer a matter of moral judgment, all right? So they don't think of this thing as whether it's morally right or morally wrong anymore. But rather, this is now, for the younger generation, maybe it's more like a matter of taste. So there are some guys who prefer girls who, you know, seem more innocent, more demure, and they like girls who are like that, more reserved. But there are other guys who are perfectly fine, you know, with girls who are very open, very unreserved, and then they will make the first move, they'll express their feelings openly. And there are guys who are perfectly fine with that, no moral judgment. In fact, they will think that, wow, I like such girls, you know, who are very courageous, they have a very strong character. There are guys who like this type. So if my observation of maybe the next generation is that there is a lot less of such moral judgment, and for the guys, maybe it's just more like a matter of taste. Some like the innocent type, some like the open type, yeah. Now, to me, I'm a strong proponent of such equality, lah. I think that, you know, men and women should be the same. And I hope that one day, maybe a song like our, you know, song today, where, you know, a woman, you know, says openly how she feels, that can be expressed openly without judgment from society. I hope that is the case one day. It should be okay whether you are male or female, whether you have a high sex drive, low sex drive. That should be fine, as long as all these are expressed in a committed relationship. Now, so far, what I've done is I've tried to explore this topic from a historical point of view and also from a society point of view. But now, I would like to approach this question at a personal level. At a personal level, my question is this. Would you be open in expressing your love? Would you feel it's safe to open the door? That is the question. Would you open the door if the question is now you? Do you feel safe to express your love? Now, based on my own reflection, I would say yes. I must be like this. Why? Okay, so I must first express myself, just in case everybody say, Pastor say I must go and do confession tomorrow. No, okay, let me explain myself first. Okay. Now, number one, we must acknowledge that societal norms is a reality that we cannot avoid. So whatever that we do, unfortunately or fortunately, we still must do it within the boundaries of what is socially appropriate. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul was talking about, you know, love is patient, love is kind, I think there are also two points that he made, which is love does not dishonor others, and love is not self-seeking. I think these two are key points that is relevant to our topic today. So whatever we do, our confession of love must still be considerate, must still be thoughtful for the other person. So what I'm trying to say is that if you are going to, you know, confess your love or express your love, you have to be, you know, you cannot just think about yourself or I want to do whatever I want to do. No. You have to be mindful of what the other person likes. There are some that, you know, likes to have a lot of fanfare, you know. Wow, so they like you to, you know, confess your love in the open public with balloons and, you know, all your friends are there. Some girls like it like that. Maybe you should do it like that. Some guys like it like that. Maybe you should do it like that. Okay? Look for the other person. But some likes it to be, you know, a private moment. You know, they like it, to be a intimate, quiet moment. Then maybe you should, you know, do it. It's not self-seeking. You should do what is honorable to both persons. So that's my first point. Now, two, we have to acknowledge that indeed it is not easy. It is a huge challenge to be vulnerable in confession. Now, if it was that easy to be honest with our feelings all the time, then there wouldn't be so many romantic dramas and songs out there, right? You must admit that every romance movies out there is all about boy meets girl, boy lose girls, boy reconcile again and so on. Because miscommunication in love is just so prevalent. And we soak up all this romance because this inability to be open, this anguish, you know. Sometimes when we watch this show, we will just say it already. But it's just so hard to say it. And this is something that we can all connect with. We know what it's like. We know how hard it is to be open, to open this door. Now, my advice is that we should just be sincere. That is, I watch a lot of all these dating shows, a lot of this, I read all these online forums. I think the thing that is most valued is sincerity. That is something that is cherished by both genders, whether it's a guy listening to a girl or a girl listening to a guy. The most important thing is to be sincere. When listening to confessions of love, when listening to expressions of love, what matters most is not all the fanfare, all the other things. No, what matters most is sincerity. Sincerity is being true to your own heart. Sincerity is also a form of respect for the other person. Why should we be sincere? Because the opposite of sincerity is alienation. The opposite of sincerity is isolation. If you are too guarded to be truthful to other people, whether it's your beloved or family members or your friends, if we are too guarded, then how can anyone ever come into our lives? So I would say that sometimes, if you need to love, then you need to be sincere. Now, last, I want to talk about this topic of what the woman said about the man, right? Because her friends asked her, okay, what makes your beloved better than others? Okay, and then the woman goes on to describe the man from hair all the way to the toes, right? Now, last week, Pastor Enoch mentioned that this is called a wasaf, okay, which is a love poetry. Except that Pastor Enoch said that what the man said about the woman is likely to be non-physical, all right? But in our passage today, which is a wasaf from the woman about the man, I would say that I think it's entirely physical, all right? So the woman is totally talking about the man's physical attribute, Okay, so I ask you to imagine your own favorite appearance. Now, so you might be thinking, but that is so unusual, you know. How can there be a woman, you know, who is praising a man's body, you know, so openly? Even in our modern society, I don't think any woman will do that, right? Wow, your hair is like this, your face like this, your body like this, and then your leg like this. No, right? So, yes, true. So, therefore, the context is very important, all right? Now, first thing to note is that, yes, the woman is not talking about the man, okay? The woman is not talking to the man. Or rather, the woman is just talking to her friends, okay? So, it's not directed at the guy. So I'm not sure whether girls, you know, when they are by themselves, they talk like that or not. So that is the first context that is very important. But the second context is far more important. What is it? Okay? You must understand that this is a love song, okay, written by a man. So in case you are shocked, so this, you must understand the entire Song of Songs is written by a man, all right? In fact, there are a lot of love songs, okay, by female singers, but actually the lyricist is a male. Oh, it's actually very common. So this is not so much about what a woman wishes to say about her man, but more importantly, this is about what a man wishes a woman would say to her beloved. You understand? So this is the very important context. This song, especially the descriptive part, the wasaf, is about what a man wishes a woman would say about her beloved or about himself. This is what a man thinks. Now, I do not know if I can speak for all the guys here, okay? But I think, this is my guess, most men wish to be perceived as manly by his beloved, okay, you know? Even if his actual physical attributes are far from perfect, they still wish that their beloved think of them as themselves as manly. Now, what is manliness? I thought we'll talk about this topic today. Manliness can, of course, mean bodily strength or athleticism, you know, that is perceived as manly. Yes? In tribal cultures and also in pop cultures today, you know, whether it's K-pop or C-pop and so on, a man who can sing and dance is considered attractive and charming. So all this is perceived as, very, very manly. Now, as I write these words about manliness, I start to feel sorry for myself. I say, oh dear, I have this middle-aged body and I can neither sing nor dance. I tried a few times in front of my wife. It didn't work out very well. So anyway, so I asked my wife, do you think that I'm manly? Then my wife said, yes, of course you're manly. Every time I see a lizard, I will quickly ask you to come and chase it away. Her answer reminds me of a tactic that some girls like to use, you know. Whenever they see a guy that they like, they will suddenly pretend that, there's a jar or a bottle that they cannot open. Well, then the guy will open it and then be perceived as very manly. joking. Okay, anyway. Now, as I think about this topic, thankfully, based on my own observations, I think women these days can also perceive manliness when they see that, you know, a guy is very serious in their work or very competent in their work. So sometimes a girl will perceive a guy as manly that way. Wow, he is, you know, serious and competent in their work. There are other ladies who think of manliness in the terms of when the partner is very sensitive and very caring to them. That can be perceived as manliness as well. So if you were to ask me to sum up this topic, I would say that if you are single now and you want to so-called confess your love, or as a marriage tip to those of us who are married for a long time, you want to, you know, say something, right? You want to affirm a guy's manliness. I think you should just say what you value in the other person. It can be physical or it can be otherwise. I think just say what you value in the other person. But I think it's important that you affirm your partner or the other person's manliness. I think this is something that we can learn today. But just a note, just a note for girls who are, or guys who are on your first date, right? If you are going to compliment the opposite gender in terms of physical attribute, please remember to be tactful, all right? Just in case you're perceived as, you know, objectifying the other person. Don't say things like, you know, nice ass or what. No. Okay. Anyway. So lastly, I want to share my reflection if this passage is to be applied allegorically, all right? So that this passage can also, or maybe that, apply allegorically about this loving relationship between God and man. Now, in this metaphor, obviously the one knocking on the door is God. So God is the one knocking on the door asking to come in. And the lady on the bed will represent us, you know. We are yearning for God. We think of God as our beloved. But are we too hesitant, too afraid to open this door? Coincidentally, as I was leading the 幸福小组, happiness group, as I was sharing chapter 5, I happened to be teaching this lesson. The lesson title is God called 当上帝来敲门, when God is the one knocking. This is based on the verse in Revelation chapter 3, which says, God saying to the church, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. So Revelation tells us that, you know, God wants to come into our life. God is knocking on the door. But just like our song today, sometimes we are afraid, right? Sometimes we are concerned. It's not easy to open up this door. Even if we believe that God is our beloved, God will do wonderful things in our lives. But sometimes, it is not easy to open up. Now, what we can learn from today's passage is that it is important to be sincere with God. And that is very true. It is important to be sincere with God. Even if you are upset with God, even if you are afraid of what he wants, it is important to be sincere. For some of us, maybe if this is your first time praying, if you are at a loss of words of what to say to God, there are two things that I recommend. Number one, you can try using the Psalms, all right? And the Psalms, there's 150 Psalms. You can use them for all different kinds of situations. There are Psalms where the psalmist is angry with God. There are some Psalms where the psalm has a thanksgiving to give. There are some Psalms that, you know, where you are at a loss, you are at a ditch. Even if you feel suicidal, there are Psalms that you can use to pray to God. And the other recommendation is just to use worship songs. So worship songs are like our modern Psalms. And I like what Joshua chose today, you know, which is a modern worship song, which is a reinterpretation of an old psalm, which is Psalm 150. You can do that too. Worship songs help us to express our praises freely to God. Now, in this relationship where God is knocking on the door, I think that we have something that is hugely advantageous, which is that we know that God is a partner that we can fully trust and depend. Now, in BGR, sometimes we are afraid of the one knocking on the door, because we do not know whether you can trust that person or not. What if you open the door and then the person do something dangerous, right? But here we know that God is a partner that we can fully trust and fully depend on. We can bring all our happiness, all our pain, all our vulnerabilities to Him. And we can be fully open to God to let Him into our lives. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you because, Lord, you have approached us knocking on our doors, telling us that you want to come into our lives, to be with us, to be part of our lives, to bring vitality, abundance, flourishing into our lives. Lord, we open our doors to you. We ask that, Lord, you come in. Bring love into our lives. Let our lives be filled with your love so that we may learn to share this love with everybody around us. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.